You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and His blessings on this 20th day of Muharram 1443 in South Africa, corresponding to Sunday, the 29th of August 2021. We commence with the Islamic economic indicators. The Zakat Nisab is 7,526 rand. The minimum mahr is 376 rand. And the mahr of Fatimi is 18,816 rands. A very warm welcome to you, the esteemed listeners listening to us locally as well as globally. And indeed, we are indebted to Mufti Sahib, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah, as well as to the various directors of the radio stations and the sound engineers. Mufti Sahib, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and Jazakallah khairan once again for joining us on the program.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Hafiz Wadi. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, our very first question, and this is actually the current topic wherever one goes, is what's the latest about the Taliban and Afghanistan?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. First and foremost, we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is solely, only, exclusively for Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, for the wonderful, magnificent, spectacular victory which Almighty Allah Jalla Wala granted to the Taliban against the Americans, against NATO, against all these enemies of Islam and the Muslims. Such a defeat, such a humiliation and disgrace. Trump also admitted few days ago it's the worst ever defeat in the history of America. Such humiliation they never ever anticipated. And they, even Vietnam and so forth, was nothing compared to what they experienced here. Do you know what Taliban have now? They have 90 billion US dollars worth of planes, helicopters, arms, ammunition. And Alhamdulillah, this is after 20 years sacrifice, when the Americans, when NATO and all these enemy forces said they will wipe out Islam, where they said they will wipe out the Muslims, whom they considered to be uneducated, uncivilized. The Taliban and the people of Afghanistan lost, according to the reports we're receiving, more than 200,000 people. People were made shaheed and were became martyrs. After all that sacrifices, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala granted the spectacular victory. Second, that remember that all these Americans and British are gone already, never to come back, inshallah. Yesterday they packed up and they even closed their Twitter account and said we had enough now. And on Tuesday will be the last day for the Americans and all foreign forces, they must get out. You had no right to be there in the first place. Why did you invade our country? Why did you come to occupy Afghanistan? To steal and to go with the poppy seeds and let the drug industry thrive and so forth. So always there's a hidden agenda, remember that, and an ulterior motive by the enemies. Whether it was Iraq, it was not a holy war, it was an oily war. They wanted to steal more and more oil there, and yeah, they wanted to steal the more and more lithium and so forth, which is used in the cell phones and many other things, and they have the poppy seeds and so forth for the opium. So they always have an agenda. With Allah's help, Allah's mercy, if you're following the news, there were some pockets of resistance there in Panjshir and so forth, but last night they reached an agreement. So one can safely say now, inshallah, Allah Al-Aziz, the entire Afghanistan, north, west, south, east, all are under the control of the Taliban. And inshallah, by Tuesday, all the enemy forces will be out of Afghanistan. The challenge they will face is this. Now they have to form their government, and among themselves, they have to be united. And remember, the world will be watching them, the hostile media and so forth. For Afghanistan, every true Muslim, I'm addressing true Muslims, not those who are Muslim just by name and opportunists, no. Every true Muslim, these are the 3-4 du'as you should be making daily. Number one, O Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, protect the Haramain Sharifain. We can see what is happening there as well. Right next to Masjid Nabawi, movie houses and cinemas and all that are established by the Shayateen, the enemies of Islam and Muslims, just to appease the Americans and the West and the Israelis. So we must make special dua. Almighty Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain. Allah, protect Masjidul Aqsa and Palestine, the rogue apartheid regime of Israel. Even last night they attacked, you must remember, Hamas and people there in Gaza. So why? They said that, why are you sending the balloons? Imagine, they even frightened for the balloons and so forth, but they have the biggest army, most powerful army there in the Middle East. But Taliban are coming for you. You must remember that. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, various hadith, that the army of Khurasan, Rayat-e-Sud, the black flags will come, and their final destination will be Ilia, and Ilia is Jerusalem, Al-Quds al-Sharif, so the holy land of Palestine. So that also will be liberated, inshallah, in our lifetime. So that's one dua. Second dua you must make, that Almighty Allah gives Taliban the tawfiq, the ability. We have 50, 60 Muslim countries. We don't have a single Islamic country, nor in the Arab countries, nor in the Muslim countries. Muslim country means majority are Muslim, but Islamic country we don't have. So inshallah, Almighty Allah select them, choose them to show what true Islam is, and then we can present that sample example to the world. This is what Islam is all about in this practical manifestation. Once they do that, remember, this will become a greatest achievement for them. And third one, they need to know who their enemies are. If you read the Quran Sharif, Surah 2, verse 256, just after Ayatul Kursi, Almighty Allah states, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, you have to reject the Tawhut, the satanic forces, and believe only in Almighty Allah and all the articles of faith. Faqadistam, and believe in Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, that's compulsory and mandatory. And all the other articles of faith, then that person has held on firmly to the rope of Almighty Allah. Faqadistam sakabil urwatil huthqa, lan fisam alaha. Allah ki rassi toot nahi sakti, Allah ki rassi choot sakti hai. This rope of Almighty Allah can never snap off. But remember, this rope of Allah, when we release the grip, then it will go away. So for Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Masjidul Aqsa, all our masajid throughout the world, our mosque, likewise, they must practically implement the Sharia and the Islamic code. And their focus must be on Almighty Allah and not appeasement of anybody. Once they're going to do that, then that will bring about bigger problems for them. So inshallah, we hope and pray that Almighty Allah uses them and uses us. And the last dua we must make, because today I gave a talk at Darul Zakaria, and I said, look at how things are unfolding. That such a speedy victory, spectacular, magnificent victory Allah gave. So we see that, we see the black flags coming from Khurasan. Khurasan means a part and portion of Afghanistan, a part and portion of Iran, a part and portion of Uzbekistan. All those there come together. So we must make dua. We become part of that army that will liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. That will be we part of the army with Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala. And so that is the dua we should be making, because it can happen during our lifetime as well. So may Almighty Allah always keep up on Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the straight path, according to the Ahlu Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, is there any significance of sprinkling water on the qabr?
When Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise took place on the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, it was a Monday morning, and then Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were many issues anyway. After the demise of the Master alayhi salatu wa sallam, then how are you going to read the Salatul Janaza? So they read it individually, groups of 10 came, the men came, the children came, the women came, and many other issues. Who will be the Khalifa? Thaniyas name, chapter 9, verse 40. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was selected, appointed to be the Khalifa and successor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence the Master alayhi salatu wa sallam buried in the Hujra Mubaraka, the room of Siddiqa, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And after that, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu an, wa rashyal ma'a ala qabrihi. He then sprinkled water, who? Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, on the qabr mubarak of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we say to pour the water, all that is fine, there's no problem. When I was a young boy, people love stories. So my father used to take me to Balfour. I was 7, 8, 9 years old. And we'd go there because my dada, dadi, my grandparents, you know, paternal grandparents are buried there. And lo and behold, their graves are also together, one on the right, one on the left. So I know I used to go with that, you know, drum, or you know that kettle they had there, and I used to go fill the water and then pour it, because we used to enjoy doing all these things there. And my father would tell me, go fetch the water and so forth. So remember that we will say is permissible, but we must not start thinking like our people today. Sometimes they have some crazy ideas, you know. So then they go there, they think if we put the water, then it's going to go down to the deceased and he or she is going to drink and all. No. The aim of pouring the water at the time of the burial is, you know, there's a lot of dust and so forth. So to let all that settle, you pour the water. One. Two, afterwards, after 1 month, 1 year and so forth, you put water there. It's just to keep the sand together and so forth, because you know, many a time, if you go to the grave and the graveyard, the cemetery, then you will find that the sand is eroded and is removed from there because of the winds and so forth. Or the whole qabr, the entire grave has sunk in and so forth. So that should be the rationale and the reason. Yes, it is permissible.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible for one to top up their mahar? For example, today the minimum mahar is 376 rands and the mahar of Fatim is 18,816. So one can one top up from the minimum to the maximum?
Remember, totally permissible. You told your wife, oh poppy, oh darling, oh honey, I will give you 400 rand. And then when you saw your poppy and your darling, you say, what a jackpot I hit. I say, darling, for you, never mind 19,000, I round it off at 20,000. So 100% permissible. You say 200,000 is permissible. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions in the noble Quran, chapter 4, verse number 20, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا, and you gave your wives قِنْطَارًا. What is قِنْطَارًا? In Arabic, the tafsir, the commentary of it will be الْأَمْوَالُ الْكَثِيرًا, abundant amount of wealth. I performed the nikah once, and I think that time that person's mahar was 120,000 or 130,000. I had to look look at the numbers properly in my eyes. You know, I thought I'm seeing something. I asked him. He said it's jewelry and so forth and so on. Anyway, one day, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda Amirul Mu'mineen, that Umar, inna Allah yantaliqul haqqa ala lisani Umar, Almighty Allah would let the truth emanate, the truth come out and emanate from the Mubarak lips and tongue of Sayyidina Umar Amirul Mu'mineen. He told the people in a khutbah sermon, La tughalu fil muhur. Don't make your mahar very, very high and so forth, which is right. See, in the Arab countries today, some of the ladies, they're not married, 30, 35, 40, 50 years old, because the parents are now demanding 1 million, 2 million riyals and dollars and dinars and dirhams. So where the people can afford it? So therefore, the government intervenes and so forth. You will see in the Arab countries, is very rife and common there. Anyway, so one lady said, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, but you got no right to say it's not permissible. But Sayyidina Umar was not saying it's not permissible. He said that he's discouraging it. So, and then she read the and cited this verse, which I read now, chapter 4, verse number 20, 21. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. Sayyidina Umar said, أَصَابَتِ الْمَرْأَى وَأَخْتَارًا. The woman is right and the man, I am wrong. Meaning that if you want to and you can afford it and there's mutual agreement, amicable agreement, it's fine, there's no problem. But we ourselves, we will not encourage it. Hafiz Abba, I don't know when you got married, but when I got married, you know how much mahar I paid? 41 riyal. And I was a student and still we students, mashallah. So I was going to the masjid and my uncle, Suleiman Maso, we call him. So he took me in a van, you know. So the Mercedes was parked there and the van was parked behind. So he told me, come, I remove the van and we go with it. I said, leave the car, and uncle, we go with the van. So we went in the van and all that. He couldn't believe, I said, you know, we just went and then he made pop, 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 pop. He blasted the hooter 1-2 times. I'm here. Like, you know, in those days, they used to do all these things. Then I went to the masjid. My father came. He said, you got money. So I just laughed. So he took out 40 rand. Then he took out the 1 rand and he spent it and I held it. So he said, this is your mahar. You just give that 41 rand. My brother-in-law, Mona Qasim Ovi, mashallah, he's in PE. He performed the nikah. Mona Harun, who passed away, is Pingo Beach, that he made the dua. So it was like that. You must remember, if you go through the old nikah daftar, the nikah books of the 60s and 50s and early 70s, you will find the ulama used to tell the people, 25 rand, 50 cent. Now our youngsters, they won't even understand what's this, 25 rand, 50 cent. 25 rand, 50 cents. So that was like the standard mahar they used to pay. So mahar, you the wife to be, you will decide what you want. You want money, you want jewelry, you want both, you want clothing. So that is your prerogative. And I, the husband, you, the husband, we will pay that and so forth and so on. Now this verse is teaching us a big lesson. Wa'atitum. إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. That Allah forbid. Now you, the husband, you divorce your wife. Now you tell your wife that I want the mahar back and so forth. So remember that is haram, is unlawful. Chapter 4, verses 20-21. How can you take it back? You enjoyed yourself with her. You deflowered her, you did everything, and now you still got the gall and audacity to say you want it back? Totally haram for you, the ex-in-laws, ex-husband, to say give back the jewelry, give back the money, give back the clothing, all that absolutely haram. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. That the person, I gave you a gift, Hafiz Wadi, a pen, a book, whatever. Allah forbid, after 1 year, 6 months, I say, give my gift back. Allah, it will never happen, inshallah, but I just give example. So I say, give it back. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that person who took his gift back from the giftee, from the recipient, is like a dog. And the dog vomited and went to lick the vomit. So you ex-in-laws, you must think properly what you're doing. We receive these type of questions very, very often. So Islam says minimum 400, for example, I'm just giving round figures, and Mahar e Fatimi 19,000. You want to give 20, you want to give 50, all that. You say, Popi, you made my life so good, take Mahar. And when I deliver nikah lectures, I tell the groom, I say, see, today you're giving 1 kruger coin, but don't think Mahar is only for today. You non-Muslims, others who don't understand Mahar, M-A-H-R, is a marital gift we give to that wife. We show her from day one of our matrimonial life how we appreciate her, that she made such a supreme great sacrifice. She left the place of a birth, she's leaving her parents, her siblings, everything, to spend the remainder of her life with me, with the husband. So what a sacrifice it is, and it's security for her. So therefore we give her that amount in cash or kind. So therefore we should be magnanimous in that. Then the advice I give them, see, every week, every month, give your wife gifts. I just call it mahar. It's not mahar technically, but it's a gift. Why? Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith in Bayhaqi, hadith is sahih, authentic hadith, tahadu tahabu, that when you give gift to one another, that will generate mutual love. Fa innal hadiyata tuzhibu dwaghain, when the husband and wife you give one another, then sometime you have dispute, argument, it will remove the malice, the rancor, the hatred. Look at the beauty of Islam.
Mufti Saab actually just responded to the question. My next question was, can you ask for a gift to be returned? Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab has already responded to that.
I must have read your mind.
Gee, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, moving on to the next question. This teenager, 15-year-old, says, I see my father being very secretive with his phone and hiding messages. What should I do? I really don't want my mother to find out, as it's going to be breaking her heart.
Remember that I received so many messages like this. That remember the father, the husband, he's married 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and now when he was young, he never had all this WhatsApp and all these smartphones and ugly phones and what have you. So now he says, let me cover up on, you know, per time. So now all the pornography, you just press one button and everything comes up and so forth. So now he'll put the secret code and he will take it here, take it there, and his mind now is obsessed with that. There are certain things in life you must remember, the addictive. Almighty Allah speaks of this in Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, verses 19-91. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maisiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu ritsum min amali shaitani fajtanibu la'allakum tuflihun. That alcohol and gambling, Allah mentions them together. Now there must be a rationale, there must be some hikmah and wisdom for this. So what is the rationale and the wisdom for that? Remember, he studied the alcohol industry and it is addictive. You will see how many people now are addicted to alcohol, and therefore Islam condemned the entire industry and said not permissible, even one drop not permissible. Second one is gambling. So people say, tatama chance, tatama million. So they want, just put 1 rand, 2 rand. So if you study interest, gambling, all this are together, lumped together. So Islam came and condemned the entire industry of interest and gambling. Surah 2, chapter 2, verses 275 to 279. Because it is addictive. Now if you study TV, if you study pornography, if you study this, you will see it's addictive. And now these phones that are in our palms, in our hands, they're also addictive. So remember, we will not say the phone is haram or not permissible. We will say what Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about Ash'arul Jahiliyyah, the poetry of the pre-Islamic days, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, oh you people who want to master the Arabic language, you want to become a linguist par excellence, you must learn the poetry of the Jahiliyyah, of the Arabs before Islam, because some of them were great, great shair and poets and so forth. Anyway, so Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was, this question was posed to the Master alayhi salam. What did he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say? Hasanuhu hasanun wa qabihuhu qabihun. You look at the content matter of that poetry. If it has a good message, then it's fine. If it has a bad message, praising alcohol, the idols, and zina, fornication, adultery, so it's haram, obviously, it's not permissible. So today, you see the man, halas out marni kautini. They old, but they still got, mashallah, that they still active, you know, and they old, but not cold. So now, the wife, she's not a street lady. He wants to see how the prostitutes, how the street ladies, what they doing, what this, what that, what that. And what you see, you must remember, is human nature. Then you want to experiment. How many marriages have broken? So you, my son, my brother, when you know your father is busy, he's 40, 50, 60 years old, you and your siblings, you have to leave your mother out of the question for a little while, you and your siblings have a joint strategy. And then when your father is alone, you discuss this in your car or outside or whatever when your mom is not there, and tell your father that, see, we know what is happening and you better stop. And if you don't stop, then we, the children, we make muqata'a, social boycott, we excommunicate you. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah. We love you as our father, but we hate your actions you are doing. And what are you doing to our mother? She gave her life for you. You deflowered her. She did everything. And now you're pouring water over the 10, 20, 40, 50 years of marriage. So in that way, if all parties are sincere, Quran Kareem teaches us this. E yurida islaha yuwaffiqillahu baynahuma. If everybody is sincere, Allah's help will come. Make tawbah and so forth. Get rid of that phone. You know that old Nokia phones we had? Use that where there's no WhatsApp and all these satanic things. Then inshallah, that your marriage will be saved. Don't think that this is good for you. Remember, it's a destroyer, the entire pornography. You'll say Hitler is very bad. Hitler was bad, whatever, but the man had 2-3 policies which today the world don't want to speak about for obvious reasons. Go study the life of Hitler. One thing he said, I don't want his interest, because the Jews at that time were charging exorbitant amount of interest, and he said, why must the Germans pay so much? So he hated the interest system, one. Two, he hated homosexuality and he hated pornography and so forth and so on. And he abolished that, he banned it and all that. And he, if you study his life, he is the one, in 2 years, he arranged job for 6 million people. From there, they got this amount and number of 6 million. There were no 6 million people. It's very, very debatable that, yes, there are 6 million Palestinians in the diaspora who must come back to Palestine. So that is the truth of the matter, if you are not looking at things with a jaundiced eye and so forth. Be that as it may, but remember, any person who's got common sense, then, but common sense is no more common today, so you will remember this entire industry of film, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, is a satanic industry, and pornography. So imagine today every house, every second house, okay, we say every second house, that the pornography is going on there, the film, the movies. Then we say, Ya Allah, give me barakat. What barakat will come? We invited Satan and Satan's father also to come in our houses. So think properly what you're doing, O Muslim, and how you're destroying the fabric of society. The house is burning with the fire, the lamp in the house. May Almighty Allah protect us and protect our progeny and spouses and families.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, will we meet our parents and families in the Akhirah?
100%, provided that our parents, our siblings, all of them, they passed away with Iman and Islam, then you will meet them. Obviously, if they died with kufr and shirk and so forth, then you will not meet them, because they will be in Jahannam, the hellfire, and the Muslim will be in paradise and Jannah. Jannah. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions this in the Noble Quran. Today, all you, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar, Sirius FM, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, I'm giving you homework. So you must learn this homework. Learn this dua. You love your father, right? But he passed away. How you love your mother. Till today you speak of her, you cry. But you must remember, we have to make a dua. So one dua we taught you over this past 20 years in the media is Surah 14, verse 41. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh, Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and the true believers. So as long as they passed away with Iman and Islam, we continue making dua for them. They died as non-Muslim, then not allowed to pray for them. Surah chapter 9, verse 84. Quran is very clear and explicit on that. وَلَا تُسْوَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أُمَّاتَ أَبَدَىٰ وَلَا تَقُمُ الْأَقَبْرِ. You can't pray for them. You can't go to the cemetery. You can't go to memorial service. You can't go to the church, temple, synagogue, nowhere. Yes, whilst they're alive, you pray for them. We pray daily, Allah give them Islam and Iman and so forth. Now the second dua, I want you, children and grandchildren and spouses and siblings. Surah chapter 40, this is in the 24th Supara, my ma there in Chatsworth. So I make dua for Ma Asmal also. She's our special ma. So Surah 40, Surah Mu'min, and verses 8 and 9. This is the dua you must learn. Rabbana, O our sustainer, nourisher, wa adkhilhum jannati adnin illati wa'attahum, admit them in that eternal jannah, perpetual jannah, which you promised them, ya Allah. Wa man salaha min abaihim wa azwajihim wa dhurriyatihim, give them jannah and give their parents, give their spouses, give their progeny and children jannah. Innaka antal azizul hakim, indeed, ya Allah, you are almighty, all-powerful and all-wise. وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ, and save them from the vices, the sins and Jahannam. وَمَنْ تَقِ السَّيِّئَاتِ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَقَدْ رَحِمْتَ. Whosoever, ya Allah, you save from the vices and Jahannam and hellfire on that day, you have indeed enveloped him in your mercy. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the supreme success when we enter Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. So at least chapter 40 and verse number 8 you must learn. If you learn 8 and 9, that's excellent. Again we read chapter 40 verse number 8, and this is the 24th Supara. You will see the surah just starts, Surah Mu'min, and you just turn the page, you will find it there. Rabbana, O our sustainer, nourisher. See here a jewel of tafsir. When you find Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana in the Quran, so the student asks the teacher, O Ustaji, why Allah does not say Ya Rabbana? You will find normally when Rabbana is mentioned, the vocative, the nida, is not mentioned. That is not Ya Rabbana, it's Rabbana. Why? So the Ustad, he said, you see, when you speak to Allah, then what Allah said? Allah says, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 186, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah says, when my servants ask you, Ya Rasulullah, O Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about me, tell them I'm very, very near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّعَى, I respond to you when you call me. So Ya in the Arabic normally is for people who are far. So Almighty Allah is our creator, the only creator. He's very, very near. You know how near? وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبَلِ الْوَرِيدِ. He's nearer to us than our jugular veins. So Almighty Allah is so near. So when he's near, we don't need Ya. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْ أدخلهم, O Allah, you admit them. جَنَّاتِ أَدْنٍ الَّتِي, that in that eternal Jannah which you promised them. So allati wa'attahum, for the people themselves. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ, and whosoever was pious, whoever had iman from their parents, grandparents, their spouses, their progeny, children. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Ya Allah, you are the one who's almighty, all-wise. And almighty Allah teaches us in the noble Quran, وَأَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, that we will let their families join them there in paradise, in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. So you will see your handsome, beautiful son. You will see your beautiful parents and daughters and siblings. So our Hafiz Qasim Parak is also my student. I heard about the tragic circumstances, that how his son passed away, he fell down and so forth from the fourth floor. So may Almighty Allah grant him. Now, how do you speak to a mother, the father, when your son in a tragic accident passed away and so forth? But tomorrow on day of Qiyamah, Allah says, وَأَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ, Allah will join them with their children and so forth, and join the children with the parents. Chapter number 52, Surah At-Tur, and verse number 21.
We say Jazakallahu Khairan to Mufti Saab. This afternoon's Q&A program is brought to you by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue shortly.